James chapter 1. Let's all stand, please. James chapter 1. We'll read the first 12 verses, then I want to kind of teach down through them. I'm going to preach a message on understanding diverse temptations. Understanding diverse temptations. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass and the flower thereof, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Heavenly Father, Lord, I would pray, dear God, that you would equip us for 2014, Lord. Help Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I pray, dear God, that as we study the scriptures tonight, we would know how to have a correct and biblical reaction to those times when you allow in our lives diverse testings or diverse temptations. Help us to understand what they are. Help us to understand what to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This summer, we'll celebrate, me and my wife will celebrate two significant milestones in our life. On June 1st of 2014, we will celebrate the privilege and the honor to have ministered here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church for 20 years. We started on staff here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church on June 1st, the first day of June, 1994. How many of you were not even born then, 1994? You weren't even born there. Oh, help me. Thank you very much. That helps me. Amen. That's an encouragement. And 20 years. Where has 20 years gone? On July 27th, me and my bride will celebrate our 30 years of marriage, 30th marriage anniversary. And so we have these two significant milestones. We thank God for both of them. And if the Lord tarries, we'll have an opportunity to celebrate those things. I was thinking about 20 years, 2014, 20 years of serving together here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. One of the blessings of going to a place and just staying. And someone told me once, the average stay of a pastor in the church is somewhere around 3 years, and I shake my head at that. I'll be honest with you, I shake my head on it. I think that we move ourselves more than God moves us. And for a lot of those preachers, it's the denomination moving them and telling them where they need to go next. But one of the things about just going and staying, and I do know God moves people from time to time, I understand that. But 20 years in one place, we do get to share a lot of things. You know, when I, many of you, you felt all of the same things that I felt when I read this anniversary or this wedding invitation. I mean, the opportunity to get to watch one of our kids grow up in this place. And how old are you now? So she was 4 years old when I came here. And to get to watch her start in our Christian school, and all of you teachers and monitors and Sunday school teachers, I mean, all of us share in the rejoicing of just watching young people grow up in this place. If you stay 20 years, you can watch a generation grow up. You stay place in the same place 20 years, you get to enjoy a lot of things. And so, of course, there's the blessings, and we could talk about a lot of them. But one of the things that if you look back at over the last 20 years is if you stay 20 years in the same place, you know what? You also, as a church family, get to support each other as you go through a lot of trials and a lot of testings. You know, I almost did this, but I don't know how good it would be, and it maybe it wouldn't even be good for us. But if I was to say since 1994, if I just gave every family a chance to stand up and say, you know, I'm not asking you to whine, I'm not asking you to gripe, I'm not asking you to complain against God. I'm just saying, if you were to be able, given the opportunity to stand up and say, you know, let me share the maybe the three things in the last 20 years that was the hardest things that our family had to face, I can tell you this, not a one of you would be able to stand up and say, hey, we've had a free ride, you know. Guess what? It's been nothing but glory, you know. We haven't had to face one difficult thing. I don't think there's a person in here that's old enough to have lived and looked back at the last 20 years that doesn't say, preacher, there were some pretty deep valleys and pretty dark valleys. And there were some things that maybe you'd be willing to share. And maybe sometimes these valleys are very private things that maybe you wouldn't want to share. But I will say this, please listen to me. One of the things that I think that I need to do, and I need to make sure I'm doing it on a regular basis, is to make sure that our people are equipped to face testings, because, folks, they're coming. They're coming. Because if God tarries another 20 years, we'll add to that list. Now, wait a minute. You know how I am. I always quote this, and I like to quote it. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. And I think that the honest truth is, whatever list of heartaches we could come up with, we could come up with a list that would dwarf that in the blessings that God's given in each of our lives in the last 20 years. But it doesn't erase the fact that they're there and that we had to go through them. And by the way, let me say this. Your very presence here tonight, the fact that you're still faithful in church, having gone through what you've gone through, speaks a wonderful testimony to your faith in God. I mean that. I want to congratulate you. Because as we're going to find tonight, many, many things that we're asked to go through test the very foundation of our faith. And we have to, as Christians, I believe, learn and know and learn to understand temptations. We need to know why God does it to a certain extent and what he does. You may not understand the why of the specific, but you can understand the why of the oversight. And if you grasp, if you get a working knowledge of the first 12 verses of the book of James, chapter 1, I will tell you this, you are well equipped to face whatever you might have to face in 2014. You are. And I'm not saying it'll make it easy. I'm not saying it won't make it, that it won't be difficult. I'm saying that you can get through it if you understand these 12 verses. So you know what I want to do? I want to take in the beginning of a year before we're much into it, and I want to help you and equip you. And for most of you, just remind you of some things you already know that'll help you to face whatever you have to face in this coming year. And so we're looking in James chapter number 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting my brethren. So we know that brother James is being used by God. These are God's words. He's writing them, being used as an instrument by God. And we know that these words are directed by God to save people. So the Lord is talking to save people. Boy, it's a lot easier to face things if you're just saved. Amen. I say this often, but you know what? God never intended any human being to have to face just the heartaches of life. You don't have to walk this path. You don't have to take this journey without God. God intended you to come to him for salvation, and then God wanted this relationship of being your heavenly Father, and God wanted to be there to walk through these things with you. God wanted to impart to you the presence of his Spirit within you, that holy comforter. God wants to be there in with you to face the trials of life. And so this is written to Christians. Now, verse number 2. Let me give you several things here. Number 1, our proper attitude towards diverse temptations. Proper attitude. Verse number 2, my brethren, isn't this interesting? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, let me explain what diverse temptations is, and then we'll tell you how you can get to the point where you can learn to count it joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The word temptation in the Bible, you have to look at the context of it. The word temptation has a dual definition. God allows us to face temptations, or in many places in the Bible, this word is translated testing. And so some temptation, this is what it's talking about in this part of the chapter, diverse temptations, talk about diverse testings. Diverse means diverse, it means multiple, it means more than one, it means several of them at the same time. Testings, God sometimes allows us to be put to proof. If you look up the word temptation in the Bible, there's two definitions. Number one, to be put to proof, a testing that I think is for to gauge our motives of Christian service. Other places, and by the way, in this same chapter, verse number 13 on down, you're going to see that temptation then is also defined as a solicitation for evil. So we think of temptation sometimes as being tempted to do wrong. That is a proper definition in some places in the Bible. But sometimes the word temptation is simply us being put to proof, us being tested. It's kind of like the gold that the Bible talks about and the silver that's put in the furnace to further refine us. It's the normal, difficult, hard things of life that we have to face. Sometimes we're faced with the temptation to do evil. We're tempted by sin. Sometimes we're tested by circumstance. And so in this portion of Scripture, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. It's talking about being tested by circumstance. Now, one of the best ways for us to lose the dross, to be refined, to grow in grace, is for God to allow us to go through the fire, the intensity of the fire. So diverse testings, diverse temptations is when God turns all the burners up. It's not just one burner that's on low, it's four or five or six burners that are on high, and you know what, you got to get the heat up to refine the silver, you got to get the heat up to refine the gold, and there's going to be times when God just allows you to go through a period of testings, plural, where there's several things that are coming at you from several different directions, and these are difficult times. They're difficult times, but if we're to mature in grace and to become all that we need to become, they're necessary times in our Christian life. So God says this, count it all joy. Now, I'm going to come back to this one at the end. Let me tell you why it's hard for us to count it as joy when we face diverse testings, because a lot of times we do not understand what God is doing. And the Bible says, for instance, Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Proverbs 17:27, I love this verse. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Now, one of the things that you will allow you to have the right spirit and face testings with the right spirit is if you have an understanding. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth, you know, having an understanding at least of what God's doing helps you to have the right attitude or spirit towards even difficult things. So when we teach down through here, I think when we get done, you'll have a better understanding of why God does this, and it'll help us then to have the proper attitude or the proper spirit towards it. Folks, listen, it doesn't mean, you know, all things, that people say all things work together for good. Well, it doesn't say all things are good. It says all things work together for good. And you know what? The end result of being of diverse testings can be good, but it doesn't mean the testings are any fun. It doesn't mean they're not difficult. It doesn't mean sometimes they're almost crushing. I mean, thank God we cling to the verse that God promised where he would not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able. But how many of you feel like sometimes you got right up to the edge of that, you know? And God allows that at times. Because like I said, if the dross is going to be consumed from our lives, then the heat has to be applied. And so there's going to be times. Now listen, when these things come in these periods, it doesn't mean that you rejoice over the individual hard aches and hard things you have to face. But you can face it with a spirit of rejoicing because you have an understanding of what God long-term is trying to accomplish in your life. I hope that makes sense to you. And so we have to learn to face it with the proper attitude. Look up here, mature Christian. You want to mature? Listen, stop throwing the panic button every time two or three or four things go wrong in your life. Okay, stop going into a fetal position and surrendering and you know, turning into Job's wife every time things don't go your way. I mean, there has to come a point in time after you've gone through several of these that you gain some maturity and understanding where, no, it's not fun, but at least I can count it all joy because God's doing something in my life that is necessary and the end product is going to be worth it. No matter how difficult it is, the end product. Listen, folks, listen. I would be ill-equipped. I would be unqualified as a pastor to try to help another human being if God did not make me and allow me to go through some terrible testings and some severe testings in my life. How in the world can I catch another person's tear if I've never had to shed one myself? How can I encourage somebody else's heartache if I've never had one myself? I mean, listen to me. And that's not just the pulpit. The Bible encourages the membership of a church to be there to exhort one another and encourage one another in the Lord. And as you watch your brother or sister go through things, if you have no basis, it doesn't have to be the exact same thing, but if you have no basis of what it's like to go through difficulties, it's really hard to minister to anybody else. And so God is going to do this. The proper attitude, count it all joy. Doesn't mean you have to enjoy the hard things. It means that you joy in knowing that God is doing a work of grace in your life. Now let's talk about this. How do you respond properly to testings? Preacher, all of a sudden, you know, maybe not the severity, and I don't think any of us want to stand up and see we faced the severity of Job's testings, but Job, one of the things we did see was that they all came in a very short amount of time. When all of a sudden I turn around and I get hit with this, and then, I mean, we just barely have time to comprehend that, and a day later or 2 days later we get hit by this, and we hardly have time to, you know, we're reeling, and then this comes, and then this comes, and good night. If it was one at a time, I think I could handle it. But why is God doing this? Because one at a time, you think you can handle it. Because one at a time, we think we can handle it. And God needs to get us in a situation, a position where we need to look up, and we need to turn to Him, and we need to gain strength from Him. And so one of the things that we want to learn from this is, how do you react? Okay, preacher, it's hard to react. It's hard to know what to do. If I could get you just to jot down three or four things, one, two, three, how to respond to diverse temptations. I mean, you don't have to write intense notes. If you just put somewhere in James chapter number one, and you remember to get to James chapter one, and you'll listen, number one, proper attitude, count it all joy. God, I don't like what's happening. I don't understand what's happening. But you know what? You've commanded me to have joy in the fact that this is going to be for my ultimate benefit, and you're going to bring good out of this. And so, Lord, I'm going to face this with joy. And then number two, practice patience, right? Number two, proper attitude. Number one, number two, practice patience. Now, let me say this, folks. Our very first response to diverse temptations need to be patience. Look, if you will, in verse number three, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse four, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, listen, I've had to learn to do this, and I want you to learn to do it. When a lot of things happen at all of a sudden, and I mean it just seems like here it comes, you know, the devil opened the gate and here comes a whole herd of problems, then you know what you have to do? First thing you have to do, folks, is go into patience mode. You see, most of us, especially, I think men and women are probably very similar in this, but I know it for a fact, I can speak for men because I is one, but most of us men, we just want to fix everything now. I mean, you know, we get something goes wrong, we just want to fix it now. But you know what? Men, isn't it frustrating when some things are unfixable? And you can't fix it now. I just want, you know, okay, what's the problem? All right, let's, all right, what do we need to do to fix it? Boom, boom, boom. But you know what? A lot of the things that we have to face, that the Lord allows us to face, there's no solution for. There's no magic wand. There's no one, I'll just go and talk to so-and-so, and then it'll be fixed, and we'll move on to the next. It's not like that. It's just not like that. And that's one thing. When God allows several things like that to come into our life, we have to, now listen, go into patience mode. I think immediately you ought to begin to pray for patience. Lord, just give me patience. Dear God, Lord, help me kind of, watch this. Kind of, listen, folks, I think it's good for us to kind of slide into neutral. Preacher, I mean, so many things are happening, I don't know which way to go. Well, then don't go any direction until you figure out which way to go. Just exercise patience. Now, a lot of times people want you, they almost press you to make a decision during times of turmoil and times of testings, and somebody needs it. And you know what? Most of the mistakes that we make in our Christian life, we make through pressure. Somebody's pressuring us, and somebody needs us to do something about it. Wait a minute, folks, listen. You know what? Always listen. Don't live by pressure, live by principle. Don't live by pressure, live by principle. Most of the time when people are trying to pressure you into doing something, It's you know why they're using pressure? I mean, come on. Have you ever tried to go to buy a car and you just walked on the lot and you thought, you know what? I like the ones that advertise that they have, you know, no pressure. And no, you can come to our lot. We won't pressure you at all. You just wander around. Yeah, somebody's going to come out and pressure you. You know why? Because they want you to make a decision. And I think what you have to learn sometimes is, you know what? Wait a minute. I don't have to make any decision at all. But yeah, no, I really don't. But I need to, no, we don't need to do anything. Until, watch this, until I know what to do. And when you're being hit from all sides, trust me, in the beginning hours, in the beginning days, you don't know what to do. And until I know what to do and when to do it and how to do it, I'd best not do much of anything. Now, I think you're following here, okay? I know sometimes emergency situation, you got to move because it's emergency. But I'm just saying, for the most part, don't live by pressure, live by principle. And so practice patience. Lord, wait a minute, I'm going to slow down here. I'm going to exercise patience. Because, dear God, I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of in a whirlwind here. I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure how to react to this. And so have the proper attitude. God, I don't understand it, and I don't like this. But I'm going to count it all joy because I know in the long run, you're going to bring good out of this. Number two, I'm going to be patient, God. I'm not going to run ahead of you. I'm not going to say something that later on I'll regret. I'm not going to do something that because I feel like I got to do something and then regret it later on. I'm going to exercise patience. Number three, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Now, during the time of patience, during that time when you just slide it in the neutral and say, okay, wait, stop. Before I do anything, try to fix anything, I need to get alone with God. Because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle all these things. There's too many of them. I mean, you've been there before. Come on. You know, when you're getting hit by diverse temptations, you can't even think right. I mean, you're trying to figure this problem out and then this one. And all of a sudden your mind's over here. And you're trying to figure this one out and then this one. And then a lot of times they're interconnected. Come on. And if I do this, it'll affect this. And if I do this, and I mean, literally, I'm going to tell you something. I've sat and stared at a wall for 4 hours in a state of complete mental confusion. Trying to sort things out. Trying to find an answer. And really, at the end of 4 hours, look back and think, all I did was just run my mind in circles and circles and circles, trying to figure out answers to problems that I can't figure out, solutions I can't figure out. And I mean, that I'm going to tell you something. That is a humbling experience. So wait a minute. God says, I want you to do something different. I want you, first of all, to stop. But what I want you to do before you try to figure out anything is to pray for wisdom. Now that's what the Bible says in verse number 4. And let patience have, or verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And so God says, have the proper attitude. Don't go into meltdown. Don't go into a fetal position. Don't turn into Job's wife. Have a good attitude about it. You're not the, watch this, help, let me help. You help each other here. You're not the first person that's had to face tough things in life. We get the martyr syndrome and we're, oh my goodness, nobody's ever had to go through what I've gone through. And it's just, oh my goodness, nobody understands. We all go through that, but you know what? That's not true. I mean, I don't care. We can have everybody in here stand up and tell the worst things that's happened to you in the last 20 years. And I guarantee you, it wouldn't take me no time to get on the phone and bring 10 people in here that can stand up and make your last 20 years look like a paradise compared to what they've gone through. You can always find somebody that's gone through something worse than you have. But that's not the way we think. We're in the middle of it. I mean, we just, oh, woe's me, and oh my goodness, and what do I do? And wait, God said, wait a minute, put it into neutral, put it into patience mode, slow down, stop. Okay, now, while you're in patience mode, you start praying for wisdom. Now, see, folks, that's important because you know what? You will need wisdom if you're going to handle all of these situations in a way that will please the Lord and will be right. So we need wisdom. For a while, this should be your first and only request. Just pray for wisdom. I mean, sometimes I face things I don't even know how to pray about. Also, I don't even know how to pray about them. I try to pray about them, and next thing you know, I get about 30 seconds of prayer, and then my mind's over here, and I've gone into worry state. I don't know how to pray. And so what I do is I pray for wisdom. That's what God instructs us to do, pray for wisdom. That means, you know what, you focus in, Lord, I need your wisdom right now. Dear God, I need your wisdom more than I need anything. Lord, please give me wisdom. Give me wisdom on this. Don't let me do something that would give the devil a victory. Don't let me say something, dear God, that bring dishonor to your name or ruin my testimony. Lord, I need you to just quiet my heart. I need you to quiet my mind. I need your wisdom. Now, right here, God gives us in James chapter 1 a little prayer primer, if you'll let me say this. God stops and gives us a prayer, a lesson on knowing how to pray during times of intense testing. Now remember, these instructions on prayer is just not general instructions about prayer, but praying during diverse temptations. So he says this in verse 6, let him ask. Now he said, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. But verse 6 says this, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now folks, that's a real good description of our minds when we're facing diverse temptations. I mean, so let me say this, folks, watch this. I mean, the hardest time in your life to pray properly is during diverse testings. Think about that. The hardest time in your life to pray right is during diverse testings, because you know what? We tend to be mentally wavering. We're like that one that's wavering. On the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I mean, that's a good description of kind of your mental condition when you're trying to figure all this out and absorb all this. And so we practice patience and we pray for wisdom. Why is it hard to pray properly during diverse testings? It's hard to pray because prayer requires faith. And diverse testings shake our faith. The Bible says, let him ask in faith. Well, wait a minute, my faith is shaken. So how can I ask in faith? You may not be able to for a while. That's why you got it in neutral. That's why you're exercising patience. That's why you're praying and asking God to give you wisdom. Because you know what? I don't even know how to pray yet. Let him ask in faith, nothing waver. It's hard to pray during diverse testings because prayer requires faith. It's hard to pray because prayer requires focus. Notice what it says, verse 7, and let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We're unfocused. So our faith is shaken. We tend to be faithless or faith-challenged during times of intense testing. We tend to be unfocused, and yet God says if you're going to pray, you need to pray with faith, and you need to pray very focused. Don't be double-minded. You need to be specific about what you want and pray specifically. Well, I don't even know. Yeah, that's why you're in patience mode. This may be the most important thing that you learned tonight. Folks, listen to me. You have to learn at times in your life just to shut the switches down for a while. And it's hard because life still goes on in life. It doesn't mean you can, you know, yeah, wouldn't it be nice if we all had the money during these times, every time we face diverse temptations, just buy a plane ticket to a Caribbean island and go somewhere and just shut everything off for a while. But you have to learn to just shut things down. Well, I call it going into survival mode. Everybody here that's ever faced, I mean, an onslaught of testings, you know what I'm talking about. You have to just kind of shut things down for a while. By the way, that doesn't mean you stop coming to church. That doesn't mean you stop reading your Bible. That doesn't mean you stop praying. But you know what? As far as saying much about it or praying much about it or talking much about it or trying to figure out, you know what? Sometimes you just have to say, all right, clicking everything off for a while. I can't talk about it. I don't even know how to pray about it. I don't know what to do about it. And until I do, I'm not going to say, pray, or do something that God would look down and say that's faithless and that's unfocused. What I need is to just pray for wisdom. Now, this may seem like a cheap trick, but it's not. When you take and follow God's leading here, and you exercise patience, and you refuse to do anything, say anything, think anything, move any direction until you get to the point where God has given you the wisdom to do it, then you're not going to make many real big-time mistakes in your life. And, you know, I've watched, I mean, come on, 20 years. We've been together a long time. I picked up our church directory that I use as a prayer, one of the things I use as a prayer list, and And I just went down with some praying through the church families, and just here about a week ago, just to prepare my heart for this message, I just went to each one and just went back in my mind the last 20 years. I mean, folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's stories in this room. There's heartache in this room. I've watched people just have to literally for, you know, a month, 6 weeks, sometimes 6 months. Listen, depending on what you've had to face, there's some people, I've watched people just basic, and by the way, stayed faithful to church. God bless you. I mean it. Hung in there. But you know what? You had to go into survival mode for a while. And folks, respect that and understand that. Okay? Sometimes folks, they really do. Just need some, they need, all right, everybody, just leave them alone for a while. You know, everybody wants to know, although you don't need to know everything. I always say this, do you know enough to pray? Then you know enough. We're too nosy. Okay? We're more worried about who knows the most about the situation than who's praying the most about the situation. If you know enough to pray, you know enough. You don't need to know anything else. Okay, so pray. All right, yeah, well, so-and-so's going through a tough one. What's going on? Well, this and this. Well, what else? You know enough to pray. You're not interested in a prayer request. You're interested in dirt. Okay, they don't need that. They need you pray. And so, you know what? Sometimes you have to understand that. You know, understand this, folks. Everybody's personality is different. Some of you, when you go into tough times, you really need to talk it out. And so it's a blessing to have somebody to talk to. I'm not that personality. I'll just tell you, my personality is different. I'm going through a tough time. I want to be left alone. I don't want to answer 20 questions about it. I don't want to sit around and discuss it. And I think most, a lot of you guys, that's the way it is. So if you need to talk it out, go to somebody, other Christian. Go to somebody that's, by the way, a confident. By the way, don't you be a traitor during times like this. Don't you pretend to be that shoulder to somebody to cry on so that you can get all the stuff and then get on the phone and tell all the junk. I mean it. Shame on you. I hope God does something in your life to shake you up. Because that's wicked. We're talking about people's real life feelings and real life heartache and real life situations. Some of you are so strung out, like you're on heroin over gossip, that's all you really care about. You can try to baptize it in all kinds of spirituality, but it basically all you really care about. Now listen, folks, as a shepherd of the flock, I'm telling you, I want to care for the sheep. And we need the sheep caring for each other. And you just have to understand, there's times when, you know what, people don't want to answer. They don't want to talk about it. And if they don't want to, they, you know, that's fine. Leave them alone. Okay? You don't need to know everything. You don't need to know. Just, you know what? Pray for wisdom. And so, you know, what I want to do, what I do is, and listen, until I know what the wisdom of God is, until I know what his leading is, until I know what from him, what I need to do about it, it's best that I stay in patience mode and prayer mode. And you know what? Watch this. It's not that we're running from or hiding from it, but you know what? Here's the thing. If you don't know what to do, then don't do anything. If you don't know what to say, then don't say anything. How many of you look back when you're going through these crises and you wish you could take some words back? Come on. You wish there's some things. Some of you ought to need to look back and realize you need to take some words back. But you know what? You weren't in a spiritual state. You weren't speaking because you'd gained the wisdom of God. You are hurt. Watch it. You're hurt and you're lashing out. Now, let me tell you something. That doesn't bring glory to God. So, you know what? Have the proper attitude. God, I don't understand it, and I don't like it. But God, I'm going to count it all joy because there's something you're going to bring out of this. And then, Lord, I'm going to practice patience, which means, you know what? When it comes to this thing, I don't mean I stop everything in life. I think there's a salvation in staying busy with the things that you can stay busy with. But as far as doing anything about this situation, I'm in patience mode. Watch this. I'm in prayer mode. I need God's wisdom. Okay, I'm not going to go hysterical. I'm not going to be nutty, and I'm not going to be foolish, and I'm not going to shoot my mouth off, and I'm you know what I'm going to do? I'm in patience mode, and I'm in prayer mode. And you know what? Watch this. Sometimes I get an answer, and y'all have got an answer in a few weeks, sometimes in a few days. Come on now, sometimes in a few months. Some of you are still waiting for an answer. Hey, you know what? You're smart to wait. You're smart to wait. Don't let people pressure you into it. You know what? I'm praying about it. I am having patience right now. I don't want to be faithless. I want to be focused. I want to know what God wants me to pray about, and then I want to pray about it. I want to know what God wants me to do about it, and then I'm going to do something about it. But that's what God says. Now listen, folks, proper attitude, practice patience, and pray for wisdom. If you're still wavering, you're unsettled, this leads to uncertainty, which is going to lead to unstableness. Be patient until you achieve focus. Ask God for wisdom, wisdom to see clearly the situation. Watch this. As God sees it, that's what I'm waiting for. I want to see it from His perspective. I can see it from mine. I need to see it from His perspective. I know how I feel about it. I need to know how He feels about it. I know what I want to do, and sometimes it's not the right thing to do, but I need to know what He wants me to do. And so until I get those things, here I sit. Here I wait. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to use wisdom. I don't want to look back at this chapter of my life and be ashamed because, you know what? God asked me to go through diverse temptations, diverse testing, and I lost my testimony or shamed His name. I'm not going to do it. And so don't let people pressure you. Now watch this, folks. Once God gives you the wisdom of what to pray, focus your faith on the power of God and His faithfulness to honor the purity of your request. Believe in what you're asking, then believe in who you are asking it of. Proper attitude, practice patience, pray for wisdom. Let me give you the last one, and this will help your spirit. Perfect your understanding. Perfect your understanding. Now, I want to give you some things that will help you. When we get down to verse number 9 through 12, we are told some things that are going to help us to have an understanding about what God is doing in our life. Now, it may seem like that they've shifted gears to a whole other subject in verse number 9, but wait a minute, look down at verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endured temptation. So we haven't left the subject. We're still in the context of what's being taught here. Now, we've gotten down, we've been given the prayer primer and the prayer warnings. And then there's some teaching that goes on here. Look at verse number 9. You say, where's this come from? What does this mean? In the middle of me trying to deal with all this stuff, God puts in here this sentence, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Now, if you look up that word, little phrase, low degree, it actually comes from one Greek word, and it has the idea of being depressed or humiliated. And it says this, let the brother of low degree, the brother who is depressed, the one who is being that is pushed down, that has been humiliated, that has been knocked down, let the brother of low degree rejoice that he is exalted. Now watch this. God knows it's dangerous for any of us to be too low or too high. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. When you're going through diverse temptations, you know what? You've been pressed down. You've been pushed down. And God does that at times in our lives. He does it for a reason. What's the next verse say? Let me teach them together. But the rich, and by the way, the word rich there simply means abounding. We see rich, we think money. Rich means you're abounding. It means you're abounding with God's blessing. All right, but the rich in that he is what? Made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Now watch this. God says this, when you get pressed down to a certain point, it's very important that you're exalted. And when you are raised up to a certain point, it's very good that you're brought low. Let me say that again, because you need to get this. If you're pushed down to a certain point, won't let you be tempted above that which you're able. There comes a point in time where God recognizes that you need to be exalted, you need to be brought back up. But oftentimes, then God's blessings begin to abound, and we get here, and God says, you know what? You need to be brought low. Now, folks, every single one of us, watch this, need from time to time to be brought low. Amen. Now, if I said the first one first, I'd have got amens everywhere. Because I'd say, the first one said, every one of us, every once in a while, get down to the point where we need to be brought up. Oh, yes, yes, we do. That's right. I wish somebody would do that for me. But we never think that we're so high that we need to be brought low. But God knows our hearts better than we do. Now listen, folks, one of the things, you know, here's the thing. This is exciting, but at the same time, this is where you can gain understanding, if you will. Listen, God does not allow Jerry Ross, thank God, to be tested above which he's able. He'll only let me go so low, and then thank God he'll reach down and pull me up. But watch this. He's only going to let me go so high before he brings me low. And both of those situations are healthy for us as Christians. Okay, we've got this idea that God is supposed to be the one who just fills the balloon and just sends us off into the stratosphere, and he's just supposed to make us go higher and higher. And I know, you know what, folks, listen to me. The most mature Christians and the best equipped to fulfill and to do the will of God and the work of God are people that know what it is to be exalted when they're brought down low and know what it is to be brought down low when they've abounded too much. And I'm not talking about puffed up and I'm just saying, folks, listen to me. There's times when God lets us be blessed, 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 and the blessings come, and those are great times. But you know what? Look at Israel. What happens? Pretty soon we get to thinking it's because of us. We get a little bit, you know, whatever. And God says it's good to be blessed. But you know what? There comes a point in time where something needs to be equaled out. And you know what? Watch this. It's good sometimes to be brought down low. But I'm not going to let you go so low that I can't bring you back up. Now, most of our lives, if you'll think about it, if you think about your life, you'll start seeing cycles. Where God allows you, I call this, and I teach it from the life of Jesus, but I call it the cycle of growth. I think most of our lives, God allows us to go through blessing times and abounding times, and you know what, that's good, but he understands it's not good for any human being to be but so high. So then he a lot of times follows that with diverse temptations, diverse testings, and you know what, that has a tendency to take us right down. Listen, there's things you learn during the blessing times of life that you'll only learn during the blessing times of life. And there's things you're going to learn during the testing times of life that you're only going to learn during the testing times of life. And you know what? A healthy life and a healthy Christian is one who's experienced the highs of life and the lows of life. I mean, I can go back literally. And that's the great thing about getting to a certain age, being a little older, is you can start looking back at your life and you can see, man, there was times where God just seemed like, he gave me, you know, maybe 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, where it just seemed like Midas touched, man. I mean, everything we went to do, everything we attempted, God's hand was in it. The blessings were there, and it just seemed like, I mean, you know, man, but, all of us are human. And you know what? We couldn't live up there. You know, we can't live up there very long and keep everything right the way it ought to be. And by the way, pretty soon, watch this, we start losing compassion for people that aren't up here. Sometimes we start getting a little bit of a haughty spirit. Well, if everybody was good as Christian me, they could live up here too. You know, well, listen, we're a mess. Come on now, we're a mess. And so we handle success for a while pretty well, but God says, you know what? I let you abound for a while, and I want you to abound for a while, but then I count it all joy, Christian, because there's going to be times I'm going to take you here too. And when you get down here, I'm going to exalt you back up here. And folks, most of our lives, if you look at it, has just been this cycle of blessings. And I'm not talking about people leaving the will of God and coming back in the will of God. I'm talking about people living in the will of God. And you know what? I'm talking about the best of the best Christians have gone through times where God just seems like they abound, and God allows them to be exalted for a while. And then he says, you know what? You're losing touch. You don't have the compassion. You don't have the tear. You look at somebody that's not doing as well, and you don't, you know what, you're having more trouble relating. And so God takes you into this. Now, folks, that's the perfect understanding here. Understand that sometimes we need to be exalted. Understand that sometimes we need to be abased. God knows it's dangerous for any of us to be too high, low or too high for too long. God has a wonderful way of picking us up when we are down and sending testings when we become too high. Now, I'm going to just take a little parenthesis here and give you something that'll help you. It'll help you if you help you. Watch this. This is for advanced Christianity. For some of you, can get this. Watch this. Many testings can be avoided if we learn how to manage our own spirit. Okay, please listen to what I'm going to say here, and I'll give this and then we'll move on. When we sense we are sinking too low, we need to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Isn't that what David did? Came back to Ziklag, he learned to encourage himself in the Lord. Watch this. When we sense we're being overly exalted, we must learn to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Now, you know, here's the thing. I'm glad when God does it, and God knows me better than me. I may be feeling like I don't really need to be brought low, and God's looking at me saying, you haughty, you know, good for nothing, you do too. because he knows me better than I do. But when I am experiencing a series of blessings and a certain amount of success with what God's allowing me to do, I need to really manage my spirit during that. Because if I don't, he'll manage it for me. Okay, so I don't want to get proud. I want to keep giving God the glory. I don't want to take credit. I don't want to walk around starting to get a haughty attitude about other people that aren't doing it. I don't want to be like that. And so I've got to manage my spirit so he's not forced to come in sometimes. Listen, here's the way I think. If we obey the Bible where it says, humble yourselves in the sight of God and he will lift you up, I'd rather humble myself than have to be humbled. And at the same time, I understand that still God is going to look at me and say, yeah, that's good, but you need to taste a depth that you haven't tasted yet and still find out that I'm there. And gain some more compassion and empathy towards people that have been there. So he's going to, at times, even when I don't want to and I don't feel like I need it, take me down. But he's never going to take me down so far where he doesn't know when I've had enough and when I need to be lifted back up. Now, folks, when you get an understanding of what God's doing during times and testing, it does help. It doesn't mean that it's not hard, but it helps. All right? Most of us struggle to always know ourselves this well, to manage our spirit all the time. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all things. We can talk ourselves anything. Listen, folks, when we are asked to face diverse temptation, then we need to rejoice. Count it all joy when God sees in us something we do not and sends into our life's testings to equip us better to serve him in the future. If we can endure testing with a rejoicing spirit and enjoy blessings with a humble spirit, we'll have achieved a level of maturity that few Christians ever know. I'm going to say that again. If we can endure testing with a rejoicing spirit and enjoy blessings with a humble spirit, we'll have reached a level of maturity that few Christians ever know. Understand that every one of us need to develop the character of just enduring. Look, if you will, in verse number 12, and we're done. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Preacher, I'm in the midst of diverse temptations. What do I do? Watch this, folks. You have the proper attitude. Keep your attitude right. Put it in neutral. Practice patience. Stop. Don't make any major decisions. Don't do anything crazy. Say anything crazy. Don't. It's not the time. Pray for wisdom. And I mean, you know what? While you're in patience mode, you're in prayer mode. And you're not moving out of patience and prayer mode until you get the wisdom of God and know what to do and how to pray. And you regain faith and regain focus so that you're not double-minded and you're not unstable in all your ways. And then you focus on what God has told you to do and what he's told you to pray. And you put yourself into that mode. But that doesn't make it go away like this. I know. What's the next thing you do? You endure. You endure. Well, I want it fixed. Well, sometimes God doesn't let it be fixed for a while. So you know what you do? You endure it. You know what you find out? That even with this burden that you're carrying, God can still give you the strength day by day to do his will. You know, one of the, I mean this, and it's built my faith through the years, and you know, good night. I don't want to complain about anything. I mean, I don't want to complain about anything. Every time I'm tempted to complain, good night, I look across this congregation. There's somebody that's been through 10 times what I've been through in my life. I don't ever want to complain. But you know what I found out? Even when you're at their very bottom with all the burdens, you know what? You can still, if you will, put one foot in front of the other and ask God for the strength for that day and if you need to, for that hour. And you can do right. And you can serve God, and you don't have to quit, and you can get up on Sunday and get ready and come to church, and you can still tell somebody else about Jesus, because you know what? Watch this. 100 years from now, whatever it is, the worst thing that we ever gone through in this life ain't going to amount to a hill of beans. We're not going to care anyway. And so you know what? Sometimes God just allows us to stay there so we learn to endure something. Endure something. Just carry it. What's that mean? That means just carry it. Why? Give me the motivation. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, here's the reward. He shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. One of the blessings of pastoring this church is watching people go through unbelievable things. I've had people, and I want to bring specific things up. But I will tell you this. I'm going to. I watched Frank and Sheila go through something I can't even imagine. And I've watched you go through something. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. There's a crown of life. Because you know what? They've been right there. Now, they haven't always been in the best shape while they were right there. But they've been right there. Now, I've never had to bury one of my children. Okay. All right. Jeannie and Jeffrey know what that's like. And we're just talking about one thing. And I'm not even saying this is the worst thing in the world. I'm just talking about one thing. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what you found out in the process of it? God's still there. God's still there. And I mean, you may be at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom, but you know what? When you cry out, he still hears you. And you say out to him, God, I can't do this. And yet, you know what? You did. And you are. And he gives you strength. There's dear widows in this room. And again, I'm just flat telling you, I'm selfish about this. But I'm flat telling you, I'm praying I go before my wife. I think she'll do fine without me. I'd be a mess without her. So. And I told her, you know, you married once for love, married second time for money. I mean, come on now. You know. So she'll. But, I mean, I see, you know, Mrs. Alley, and I see other dear widows in our church, and I sit there and I think to myself, man, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, really, come on. If you've got a good marriage, you say to yourself, how do you do that? How does anybody do that? I don't know. But I know this. I know God's never going to ask anything of you beyond what you're able. And you know what? If you'll keep the proper attitude and you'll practice patience and you'll pray for wisdom and you'll wait in that patience prayer mode till God gives you what to pray about, how to pray, what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and then you'll be obedient, even if you don't feel like it. You'll just be obedient to whatever. I'm going to tell you something. You'll come out of that valley having gained wisdom that you can only learn in that valley. God's not going to give that wisdom cheaply. He's going to give that wisdom to the people that needed it. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen, preacher, would you go back and undo any of it? No, I wouldn't. I'm sorry, but I wouldn't. God knows when I needed to be exalted. God knows when I need to be made low. And I'd have never known what I know about life and about him if I didn't have to go through those things. I'm not going to question him. I'm not going to look back and say he shouldn't have. Good night. He probably should have took me through more than he has. I think he's been very merciful. And so maybe that'll help you and equip you for whatever God may ask you to face in 2014. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to take a look at these 12 verses. Boy, there's a treasure chest in these 12 verses. Lord, my goodness sakes. There's great riches, wonderful precepts and promises. Lord, some things are too raw, some things are too new. I can't mention everybody, I can't mention everything, but I'm so thankful and so proud of the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church that have gone through horrific things in 2013, and yet they're still faithful to you. God bless them. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us. We haven't gone through our last valley, and we haven't reached the point where we can abound forever. And so, Lord, we understand there's going to be times and there's going to be things that you're going to ask of us. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to strive to receive from you one of these days that crown of life for having endured temptation, having been faithful during the difficult times. I pray, Lord, that you'd use these things in our life. Please, dear God, to make us strong for you and help us to be better prepared to be able to minister to other people and help hurting people. And Lord, that our faith in you would be strong because of what we learned. Dear Lord, I would ask, dear God, that you would help us in this next year not to be. Lord, I don't want, I look at Job's wife and I know she was heartbroken, and I don't want to be overly harsh, But I don't want that to be my testimony. I don't want to have to face some things that I don't understand and turn my back on God and tell people that I love, curse God and die. I don't want to be the quitter. I don't want to be the one that gives up no matter what you'd ask me to face, Lord. So help me, dear God. I'm frail and I'm human and, Lord, many times too much of both of those things. I need your strength and help. Give us wisdom. Lord, there's people in our church facing things and they desperately need the wisdom of God. There's only so many things and so much that a man can tell them. There's only so much counsel that they can get from a human standpoint. They need answers. They need help. They need wisdom from you. I pray that you'd help them, Lord. Lord, I pray for those that you're ministering to that are still working through a process. Some of the hurt, some of the pain, some of the grief that they've experienced in those valleys, Lord. And it's not like you get over it. Lord, and sometimes, dear God, all through the rest of our life, we just need a little bit extra grace, maybe. I pray that you'd minister, please.